أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. واللانة الدائمة الباقي لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى، ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا، إن الله غفور شكور. صلوات الله. We've gathered tonight to celebrate Eid al-Zahra after the month of Muharram in Safar, where we did the azaa of Sayyid al-Shuhada and we went through the mourning and grieving ceremonies. Now we are coming to the close of it, and this is where commonly we say this is Eid al-Zahra. Historically, this is the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, is the day when Umar ibn Sa'd, commander-in-chief of the Yazidi forces in Karbala, was killed by the forces of Mukhtar bin Ubaidullah Saqafi in the year 66 after Hijrah. Umar ibn Sa'd's death was a good news for Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam and the Ahlul Bayt. In Ziyarat-e Warisa, we describe the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam by saying that they are not only Ansar and helpers of Hussein, they are also Ansar of Hassan, they are also Ansar of Fatima, they are also Ansar of Ali, they are also Ansar of Rasulullah, and they are the Ansar of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when we look at the farhat, the happiness of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and the family of Imam Hussein in Medina at that time, when they became happy and they became pleased, this is where the meaning of farhat comes up, upon receiving the head of Umar ibn Sa'd and the news about his death. This is not only the farhat and happiness of Imam Zain al-Abidin, it is also the farhat of Hussein, the farhat of Hassan, the farhat of Fatima al-Zahra, and therefore we commonly call it the Eid of Zahra salawatullah alayha salawat. We had to realize that, you know, when we talk about this concept of hub and bughd, love and hatred, these are natural phenomena based on the two sentiments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us. And this concept of love and hate is expressed in our religious terminology by the words tawalla and tabarra. Nobody has problem with tawalla and the love for the Ahlul Bayt and those who love the Ahlul Bayt. But these days, you know, people sometimes, because of the current thinking in the modern liberal Western society, they say, you know, hatred is not a good thing. Well, we have to realize that this is bughd, you know, is part of human nature. And where it is right or where it is wrong depends on the purpose. If the hatred towards a person is based on that person's color or features or language or race or tribe or ethnicity, then this is known as asabiyya, ta'assub. This is known as discrimination, racial discrimination, and this is definitely haram and forbidden in Islam. But when we look at the issue of bughd and hatred, where a person has this animosity and hatred against Allah and Rasul and the Ahlul Bayt, This is where we are told that you cannot have a soft corner for such a person. You can't love such a person. Not because of their, you know, physical background, or racial background, or ethnicity, or language, or culture. No, it's because of this hatred that they have towards your holy figures, Allah and Rasul and the Ahlul Bayt. During the modern times, look at the example of Hitler. Hitler is hated by the people, especially in the West. Why? Was it because he was German? Or because he came from the Aryan race? No. It's nothing to do with his color, his religion, or his ethnicity. It has everything to do with his actions. And this is where we come to realize that in many Western countries now, even denying the Holocaust itself, which was committed by Hitler and his people, denying of the Holocaust itself is a crime. And this is, you know, an expression of what we call tabarra. And so when we talk about this issue of tawalla and tabarra, we have to realize that, you know, in the real world, these sentiments are there. You cannot totally suppress them. You just have to make sure that your justification for love or hatred is based on proper grounds and basis. Salawat Parne Ekbarar. When it comes to the hub of Ahlul Bayt, love for the Ahlul Bayt, this is a unanimous belief of all the Muslims, from Shias and Sufis and Sunnis and Wahhabis. And this is based on ayat 23 of Surah Shura, surah number 42. The emphasis that the Prophet had about Ahlul Bayt in the Hadith Saqalain, which has been mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So you have the ayat of Quran, and then you have this hadith of the Prophet emphasizing about loving the Ahlul Bayt in Sahih Muslim. This is also reflected, you know, these teachings from the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet, it finds its manifestation in what is known as tashahud, in the daily prayers. That all Muslims in the tashahud recite the salawat on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And this is reserved only for them, not for anyone else in the Ummah. According to our 8th Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa radha alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Ummah to love the family of the Prophet unconditionally, because he knew that they will never deviate from the right path, and they will never go towards the path of misguidance. In other words, this command to love the Ahlul Bayt unconditionally proves that they were infallible. And so this is one more indication of the ismat and infallibility of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. When we talk about loving the Ahlul Bayt, we have to realize that it can't just be in words. This has to reflect in our behavior, in our character, in our lifestyle. When we talk about our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's only Allah who deserves to be worshipped and nothing and no one else is worthy of worship. Similarly, when we talk about commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to follow them. This is what the Ahlul Bayt want us to do. If we are true followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we have to follow their teachings, the values that they stood for, and the examples that they have provided for us in their own lives and their own struggles. And so when it comes to our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the relationship with other human beings, starting with our own family members, we have to look at the examples and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt and see, you know, what is our level of commitment. If we are true muhib of Ahlul Bayt, then that should reflect in our behavior with our family. What about our extended relatives? The issue of Silat al-Rahim that we see in the example of even Karbala. Then we talk about, you know, the Shia community at large. When we talk about Tawalla, you don't only love the Ahlul Bayt, you all should also have this special respect and love for those who love the Ahlul Bayt. So our commitment to them, you know, to feel committed to their well-being in different ways. What can we do to bring the community at a better level? Then we talk about the Ummah. Those who might not be Shia, but we have certain responsibilities towards them also. And that is the indication that we have from the Ahlul Bayt. And then we look at the wider circle of humanity. That for the sake of Allah and Rasul and the Imam, we also have some duties towards the humanity at large. And we have to fulfill that. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about tawalla and loving the Ahlul Bayt, this cannot just be words. We have to try to look at their teachings and their values and the examples and follow that in our day-to-day lives. Salawat Parne Ekbar Aur. Not only is the Quran talking about loving the Ahlul Bayt, not only the Rasul who has talked about this issue that I will question you on the Day of Judgment how you treated my Ahlul Bayt. Not only that, we see actually that the Prophet goes to the other side also, where he says that it's not only the issue that you should love them, you are not allowed to hate the Ahlul Bayt. Especially when it comes to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, salawat upon him. The Prophet of Islam once said, and this is in Sahih Muslim, even in the book of Tirmizi, Nisai, Ibn Majah, these are all classical books of hadith of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and many, many other sources, where the Prophet once said to Ali, Ya Ali, لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. O Ali, nobody will love you but a mu'min, and nobody will hate you but a munafiq. Munafiq means a hypocrite. And this is, it's interesting to see that the Prophet of Islam in this statement from Shia and Sunni books both, he connects Ali's law, our law with Ali, to Iman. It is reflection of the belief and Iman of a person. And if somebody, and this is important, that he does not connect the hub of Ali to Islam, but to Iman. Because Iman is on a higher level than Islam. And then he connects the hatred towards Ali, not with kufr, but with hypocrisy. Why? Because when you talk about Islam and kufr, they are opposites. Whereas Iman and Nifaq, true faith and hypocrisy are opposites of one another. When you talk about hypocrisy and Nifaq, you have to realize this is a hidden reality. You can't know whether a person is a munafiq or not. But in this hadith, the Prophet actually gave us a measure, a standard by which we can know whether a person is a mu'min or a munafiq. So the hatred towards Ali exposes the munafiqeen within the Ummah. And this statement of Rasulullah and this implication actually was implemented even by the Sahaba in their own time. You have narrations in the Sunni books from people like Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, a very prominent companion of the Prophet, as well as Abu Sa'id al-Khudari. These are all from Ansar. And he actually says, ما كنا نعرف المنافقين إلا لبغضهم عليا. That we would not be able to identify the hypocrites among us except by their hatred towards Ali. So even the Sahaba of the days of the Prophet and immediately after his wafat, they had this hatred towards Ali as a litmus test for a munafiq. If somebody loves Ali, that is a sign of his true belief. Somebody who hates Ali, this is actually an indication of the hypocrisy and nifaq of the person. Amir al-Mu'mineen in Ahl al-Balagh also actually expresses this concept in saying number 42 of Ahl al-Balagh, where he says, لَوْ ضَرَبْتُ خَيْشُومُ الْمُؤْمِنِ بِسَيْفِ هَذَا أَلَا أَنْ يُبْغِضُنِي مَا أَبْغَضَنِي. That if I hit the nose of a mu'min with this sword of mine, so that he may hate me, he will not hate me, even if I hit him. On the other hand, وَلَوْ صَبَبْتُ الدُّنْيَا بِجُمَّاتِهَا عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِ. If I you know, put all the wealth of this dunya at the feet of a munafiq, a hypocrite, so that he may love me, ma ahabbani, he will not love me. And so this love of Ali, hatred towards Ali, this both becomes actually the symbol of Iman on one hand and Nifaq on the other hand. Salawat Parne Akbar. What is the implication of this belief? And this is where we come to the concept of Tabarra. We looked at Tawalla. As Shia Muslims, we cannot have a soft corner in our hearts for those who hate Ali and Ali Ali, you know, the descendants of Ali. And on this issue, I'll be very, you know, blunt here. On this issue, we expect the Sunni Muslims to respect their fourth Khalifa Rashid, their fourth rightly guided caliph, according to their own Aqidah, and side with him and not support those who were opposed to Ali. But what did the people do? And what are especially the Wahhabis and Salafis even now? What is their attitude towards Amir al-Mu'mineen? You know, I'll just give you one indication of how some of the Muslims, even now, have kind of a hatred towards Ali bin Abi Talib. Look at the example, you know, the third Khalifa, Uthman bin Affan, was killed by the Muslims. Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, was killed by Ibn Muljim, one of the Khawarij. Look at the attitude of the prominent Sunni scholars from the classical, category. What is their attitude about the murderer of Uthman and the murderer of Amir al-Mu'mineen? You will be surprised to hear about it. Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, a very prominent theologian and historian of Sunni theologian and Muslim theological schools, he actually, talking about the killers of Uthman, he says, the killers of Uthman, definitely they are fusaq. Fusaq means sinful people. Mal'unun, he uses these words, that they are accursed. Muharibun, they are rebels. Safikuna, daman, haraman, amdan, these are the people who spill the innocent blood intentionally and knowingly. This is his judgment about those who killed Uthman. Then you have Ibn Taymiyyah of the 7th century. He is the main thinker, and it is his ideas that the Wahhabis took over and they have been propagating all around the world. He says, when it comes to the issue of those who killed Uthman, he says they are Qawm Khawarij. He classifies them as Khawarij. Mufsiduna fil ard. So they are rebels and they are mischief makers in the world. Lam yaqtuluhu illa ta'ifatun qalilatun baghiya. No one killed Uthman but a small group of rebels. وَأَمَّا السَّاعُونَ فِي قَتْلِهِ فَكُلُّهُمْ مُخْتِعُونَ. And all those who supported in killing Uthman, all of them have committed mistake. Rather they are ظَالِمُونَ بَاغُونَ مُعْنِدُونَ. Rather they are unjust, rebellious, and they cross the limits, the proper limits of the laws. A third quotation I have from Ibn Kathir, a prominent, you know, historian who also has the biography of the Sahaba. He says, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا عَلَىٰ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ عُثْمَانِ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْمُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those who rebelled against Uthman, they are from those who created mischief in the earth. Al-Bughat, they were rebels. Al-Kharijina عَلَىٰ الْإِمَامِ, the rebels who rose against the Imam of the time. Al-Jahala, they are the ignorant ones. And they are the one who betrayed, and Zalama, they are unjust ones. And so this is how, when it comes to the murder of the third Khalifa Uthman, this is the judgment of people like Ibn Hazm, Ibn Taymiyyah, and Ibn Kathir. And these are big names in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It will be interesting to see what is their view about Ibn Muljim, the person who killed Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, the person whom Rasulullah introduced that if you love him, that is sign of your iman. If you hate him, it is sign of your nifaq, and you are a hypocrite. So what is their view about the person who killed Ali? Look at Ibn Hazm, quoted earlier. He says, لا خلاف بين أحد من الأمة في أن عبد الرحمن بن ملجم لم يقتل عليا إلا متأولا مجتهدا. There is no difference in the Ummah that Abd al-Rahman bin Muljim only killed Ali on the basis of his ijtihad. He did ijtihad, and this was his conclusion of his research. مقدرا أنه على ثواب, and you know, based on his ijtihad and understanding, believing that he was on the right. Just think about it. They don't use the word fasiq for him. They don't say he is mufsid. They don't say he is muharib. Rather, they try to justify that, well, you know, he did ijtihad and his conclusion was probably wrong, but you know, his intention was good. He thought he is doing a good deed. You look at Ibn Taymiyyah. As I said earlier, he is actually the source of the ideas of the Wahhabis and the Salafis. And you will see, he says very clearly, وَالَّذِي قَتَلَ عَلِيًّا كَانَ يُصَلِّي وَيَصُومُ وَيَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. First he praises Ibn Muljim, and he says, you know, the person who killed Ali used to pray and fast and recite the Qur'an. Well, Ibn Taymiyyah, even those who killed Uthman, you used to do the same things. They were praying, they were fasting, they used to recite the Quran. But you're not using those words for them. When it comes to Ibn Muljim, the killer of Amir al-Mu'mineen, now you're giving him this, you know, positive spin to the issue. وَقَتَلَهُ مُعْتَقِدًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُحِبُّ قَتْلَ عَلِيٍّ نَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ. Ibn Taymiyyah says that Ibn Muljim killed Ali believing that Allah and His Messenger loved the killing of Ali. Look at the level of hatred that they have towards Ali. That they are saying that Ibn Muljim believed sincerely that Allah and Rasul wanted Ali to be killed. وَفَعَلَ ذَلِكَ مُحَبَّةً لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فِي زَعْمِهِ. And in his own views, in his own mind, he did it out of love for Allah and His Messenger. The same Rasul and, you know, Messenger of Allah says that, O Ali, nobody will love you but a mu'min and nobody will hate you but a munafiq. They're forgetting all that. And now they are saying that Ibn Muljim did this action of killing Ali muhabbatan lillahi wa li rasuli, for the sake of the love for Allah and His Rasul. Wa in kana fi dhalika dhallan mubtadi'an. It says, although he was misguided in his ijtihad and his understanding, and innovator in this decision. And so this is where you come to realize that, you know, there are people in history even now. We cannot close our eyes and say, oh, the whole world is good. No. There are people out there who even now, centuries after the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they have this hatred towards him, that they would justify all those who rebelled against him in Jamal, as well as in Siffin, as well as in Nahrawan. And to the extent that they are actually trying to find some positive points about Ibn Muljim. See the different treatment that they are giving to those who are responsible for killing Uthman and the person who was responsible for killing Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's where we come to realize that when we talk about that there is a segment in the Muslim world who actually has this belief of hating Ali. These are not just wishful thinking or our own imagination. This is there in their books. Sometimes it comes out. You look at this recent situation in Pakistan, especially in Karachi, where the rally was called in the name of supporting the Sahaba, that they are the sacred ones. All of them are correct, in spite of the fact that they fought against one another, and all of them will go to Jannah. So you have Talha and Zubair and Amir al-Mu'minin, all will go into Jannah. Then you have Muawiyah, Amr ibn As, and Amir al-Mu'minin, all of them will be going to Jannah. And this is where we have a problem. It doesn't make any sense logically. People talk about, oh, let's be logical. This is where you have to think about it. If you have now people in the streets of Karachi in a rally for the support of the Sahaba, the slogans that they were shouting was there for the support of Muawiyah and Yazid. Where they were saying, you know, Amir Yazid Zindabad. And it was actually so disgusting that even some of the mainstream Sunni ulama came out strongly against what had happened. And they said, this is not what we bargained for. We were talking about Sahaba, but these people have diverted that into a support for Muawiyah and Yazid. And so when it comes to the issue of Karbala, when it comes to the issue of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when it comes to the people who are responsible for the murder of Ali ibn Abi Talib, there can be no compromise on this issue. We again would ask the Sunni Muslims, you believe in Ali as the fourth rightly guided caliph of yours. You believe in Hussein ibn Ali, you cannot deny the reality that according to Rasulullah, he is one of the two chiefs of the youths of paradise, Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl Jannah. And therefore you cannot say they are okay and those who kill them also are okay. This is where Shiaism is very clear on this issue. That the duty of loving Ali and Ali Ali is part of what is there in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And Ali becomes that measure. If you really want to know the true iman of a person, you will have to see whether they have the sense of love towards Ali or not. And if there is any kind of hatred that we see in these writings of some of the prominent scholars, where they are trying to give a positive, you know, light to Ibn Muljim, this is where you see these are the indication of the hatred that they have towards Amir al-Mu'mineen. And either Zahra is basically the issue of, you know, defining our lines very clearly on this issue. Because that is the meaning of being a Shia, that you have to be with those who are Ahlul Haqq, and you cannot be with those who are Ahlul Batil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these realities and maintain that right path till the end of our life, inshallah. عید زہرا کے مناسبت سے اکثر ہم لوگ نہ صرف لیس ایجوکیٹڈ اسکالرس کی بات ہو رہی ہے بلکہ جو ایجوکیٹڈ اور پڑھے لکھے بھی جو اسکالرز ہیں نہ صرف ایسٹ میں بلکہ ویسٹ میں بھی جن کے پاس مدینہ یونیورسٹی کی بھی ڈگری ہے اور امریکن یونیورسٹی کی بھی ڈگریز ہے اسلامک اسٹڈیز کی ان سے بھی کبھی کبھی ہم لوگ سنتے ہیں ان کے ڈسکشن میں کربلا کی جب بات آتی ہے وہ ہمیشہ کہتے ہیں اور شیعوں نے حسین کو مارا ہے اور اب وہ چونکہ ریگریٹ کرتے ہیں تو اپنے کو وہ مارتے ہیں یعنی وہ ہمارے عزاداری کو اور ماتم کو کہتے ہیں کہ دس از اے سینس آف ریگریٹ یہ توبہ کر رہے ہیں انہیں یہ نہیں معلوم ہے کہ ہمارے لیے عزاداری اور یہ ماتم جو ہے یہ تولا کا ایکسپریشن ہے ہم اپنے کو حسین ابن علی اور ان کے اصحاب اور گھر والوں کے اس مصیبت سے اپنے کو کلوز فیل کرنا چاہتے ہیں یہ ہمارا انداز ہے ان کے مصائب سن کے، مرثیہ پڑھ کے، نوحہ سن کے، اس طرح سے ہم اپنی ہمدردی کو ان کے ساتھ ایکسپریس کرتے ہیں. اور دوسری طرف جہاں تک دشمنان امام حسین علیہ السلام کی بات ہے، وہ ہمارے لیے تبرہ ہے، ہم ان پر لعنت کرتے ہیں، اور لعنت کے ذریعے وی ڈس ایسوسیٹ اور سیلف فرام دوز ہو آر ریسپانسبل فار دی میسیکر آف کربلا. تو عزاداری ہمارے لیے تولا ہے، اور لعنت بر قاتلان امام حسین ہمارے لیے تبرہ ہے. کبھی کبھی یہ جو ہم لوگ اعتراض سنتے ہیں، دس از نتھنگ نیو، کہ بھائی شیعوں نے حسین کو قتل کیا ہے، اس کا جواب بہت ہی سمپل ہے کہ اگر آپ سمجھتے ہیں کہ واقع شیعوں نے قتل کیا تھا، تو آئیے ہم لوگ چیلنج کرتے ہیں. شیعہ جو ہیں روتے بھی ہیں، غم مناتے ہیں، اور لعنت بھی کرتے ہیں. شیعہ جب قاتلان حسین پر لعنت کرتے ہیں، یہ در حقیقت تبرہ کا ایک اظہار ہے کہ ہمیں ان سے کوئی تعلق نہیں ہے، ہمارے دل میں ان کے لیے کوئی نرمی کا گوشہ نہیں ہے. اور اگر تم صحیح معنی میں سمجھتے ہو کہ تم حسین کے ساتھ ہو، تو ہم چیلنج کرتے ہیں کہ جس طرح سے ہم لعنت کرتے ہیں قاتلان حسین پر، تم بھی لعنت کرو. اینڈ اف یو شائے اوے فرام اٹ، اگر تم بھاگ جاتے ہو اور قاتلان حسین پر لعنت نہیں کرتے ہو، اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ آپ قاتلان حسین کے ساتھ ہیں. الزام ہب پر نہ ڈالیں، یہ در حقیقت انہی پر جاتی ہے بات. اور آپ اگر ان کے اپنے دل میں ان کے سلسلے میں نرم گوشہ رکھتے ہیں، تو آپ بھی انہی کے ساتھ شریک ہیں. یعنی عجیب و غریب بات ہے کہ مثلاً ان کی کتابوں میں آپ دیکھیں، علم رجال کی جو بحث ہوتی ہے، حدیث میں جو راویان حدیث ہیں، صحابہ کے علاوہ پھر تابعین کا ذکر ہوتا ہے، سیکنڈ جنریشن آفٹر دا صحابہ، تو دے ڈسکس اباؤٹ دیم کہ بھائی یہ صحیح ہے، غلط ہے، ریلائبل ہے، ٹروتھفل ہے، نہیں تھا. عمر ابن سعد جیسے شخص کے لیے مثلاً یہ لوگ لکھیں گے کہ یہ تابعی تھا، سیکنڈ جنریشن آفٹر دی صحابہ تھے، اور یہ ثقہ ہے. ثقہ ہے یعنی ریلائبل ہے اپنے نریشن میں، اگرچہ یہ ذمہ دار تھا امام حسین علیہ السلام کے قتل کے. ان دا سیم لائن آپ اسے بھروسہ والا بندہ بھی سمجھتے ہیں، اور دوسری طرف سے یہ بھی کہتے ہیں کہ یہی ذمہ دار تھا حسین ابن علی کے قتل کا. تو یہ اس سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ بھئی آپ یہ قاتلان حسین کا الزام ہم پر نہ ڈالیں، یہ آپ ہی پر جاتا ہے. یہ اس لیے کہ ہاں، آپ کی ہمدردیاں قاتلان حسین کے ساتھ ہیں، ہماری نہیں ہیں. ہم تو کھلم کھلا ان پر لعنت کرتے ہیں، اور اس میں کوئی ہیزیٹیشن نہیں ہے. زیارت وارثہ کے ان جملے کو آپ دیکھ لیں، اور اسی پر ہم ختم کرنا چاہیں گے. لعن اللہ قوما قتلتک، امام حسین علیہ السلام سے ہم کہتے ہیں کہ خدا کی لعنت ہو اس قوم پر، اے حسین، جس نے آپ کو قتل کیا، یعنی وہ لوگ جو وہاں کربلا میں موجود تھے. لعن اللہ قوما ظلمتک، خدا کی لعنت اس قوم پر ہو، ان لوگوں پر ہو جنہوں نے آپ پر ظلم کیا، چاہے وہ کربلا میں نہ رہے ہوں، چاہے انہوں نے اس ماحول کو تیار کیا ہے جس میں کربلا کا واقعہ ہوا ہے. یزید جیسا شخص جس نے تمام اس ایشوز کو بیسیکلی انجینئرنگ اسی کی تھی، اسی کے حکم پر سب کچھ ہوا ہے. اور تھرڈ کیٹیگری، اس میں یہ سب آ جائیں گے، ابن حزم بھی آ جائے گا، ابن تیمیہ بھی، ابن کثیر بھی، اور اس زمانے میں بھی جو مفتی ہیں جو یزید کی حمایت کرتے ہیں، امام حسین علیہ السلام کو کنڈیم کرتے ہیں، وہ بھی شامل ہو جاتے ہیں اس آخری جملے میں، جہاں ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں لعن اللہ قوما سمعت بذلک فرضیت بھی، کہ خداوند عالم کی لعنت ہو اس قوم پر کہ جو واقعات کربلا کو سنے اور ان واقعات پر راضی ہوں. تو لہٰذا یہ سلسلہ جو ہے ہم لوگوں کے لیے اٹس ویری کلیئر، اور ویوز آر ویری کلیئر، ویری لاجیکل، ریشنل. ہم مڈل نہیں کرتے ہیں دونوں چیزوں کو، اور یہی در حقیقت وہ امتیاز ہے شیعہ مذہب کا کہ ہم حق کو حق کہتے ہیں، باطل کو باطل کہتے ہیں. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے، خداوندہ اس قلیل بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوندا ہم لوگوں کو وہ حکمت دے، وہ علم دے کہ ہم حق اور باطل کے درمیان امتیاز برقرار کر سکیں، وہ ہمت اور شجاعت بھی دے کہ جب موقع آتا ہے تو ہم حق کا ساتھ دیں اور باطل کی مخالفت کریں، چاہے وہ گزشتہ زمانے کی بات ہو یا موجودہ حالات میں جب ہمارا امتحان لیا جاتا ہے. خداوندہ جہاں بھی شیعان علی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ. تمام انسانی برادری جو کرونا وائرس کے اس مشکل میں مبتلا ہیں، خداوندہ اس وائرس کے تمام منفی اثرات کو ان سے رفع و دفع فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم.